Are you the quantum mechanics?
Yes, we are the quantum mechanics. We're the paranormal podcast for the believers, the doubters, and everyone in between. And the burning question we've had all week, especially on our Patreon account, is how did our doggy playdate go?
No event has been more closely monitored or anticipated. Bertie came out of it very well. He was tired.
Yes, they were both quite tired. They got on well. No fights.
No fights.
No, they Bear didn't get the full draft excluder treatment. There was a little bit of licking, but it was all under control and Bear didn't seem to mind. So I would say the whole play date was a big success, which is good.
I think so. Well, I don't know whether I'm going to bring Bert on the werewolf trip.
It could be a bit dangerous.
Yeah, as if he's really going to get eaten by a werewolf. Although I told you, that's what Rachel thought.
Well, it's if something happened, people would accuse us of using our dogs as bait, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I wouldn't want that to be.
We wouldn't want that, yeah.
Just hang some ham off his tail.
Yeah.
No. No, we won't do that. We won't do that.
No.
But yes, thank you for everyone who asked. And I don't know, maybe at some point we'll do a Halloween doggy dress-up thing or something.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
For all the Patreons.
Yeah.
This week, it's nothing to do with dogs, but it is to do with animals.
Right.
Before we get into it, this is an amazing source. So this is from Scouring the Substacks. You know I've got really into the Substacks recently for material for the show.
Yeah.
And I've come across something called the Cassiopeian Experiment. Now, you may or may not have heard of this.
I've not heard of it. Well, you mentioned it last week. That's when I first heard of it.
Yeah, that's true.
I've not done,
you've heard of it from then, yes.
I've not Googled it, so I know nothing.
Okay, so for more than 30 years, this group of people have been engaged in, well, they describe it as an inverted commas and a channeling experiment. What they're really doing, it's sort of a cross between remote viewing and using a Ouija board. They don't go into great detail about exactly how they do it, but the idea is that they are channeling answers to questions that they pose. And surprisingly, the reason they started this Substack is they've had 1.2 million words of material so far.
Wow.
So for each session, they record, basically it's a Q&A, and then in between the question and answers, they sort of filled in some details to tell a story. And the first story that I came across, well, it's one that I've been fascinated with since we started this, and not necessarily just fascinated, obsessed with it, and that is cattle mutilations.
Yep.
Now, I think probably most of you listening will have heard about this phenomena, but I don't think you'll have expected it to have gone to the place where this goes, to a dark, disturbing place where reality isn't really reality anymore.
Right.
But just in case you don't know, the most famous film and the most famous material about this, Linda Moulton Howe's film called A Strange Harvest. Let's just listen to the 30-second trailer for that, because this will give you a good idea of where we're going to start.
The film you are about to see, called A Strange Harvest, was first broadcast in May 1980. The subject is a mystery which has haunted ranchers and law enforcement for the past decade, the mutilation of animals, especially cattle, throughout the United States and Canada. Since the first broadcast, mutilations have continued, but with little or no media coverage, perhaps because it's easier to accept the usual explanation of predator attack. However, in the past few months, since September of 1982, I have received 12 mutilation reports from sheriff's offices, all relating to bizarre cuts, not predators.
So reports of these strange deaths and disappearances of animals go back to the 1600s, but detailed reports in modern times really start about 1967 with Snippy the Horse. Have you come across Snippy the Horse?
I haven't. It's weird, because I was going to ask you a question. Was it always cattle? I know it's mostly cattle and there has been other stuff, but you're answering my question with Snippy the Horse, aren't you?
Snippy the Horse, yeah. He was
a horse?
He was a horse. Oh, yes. He was a horse from Colorado. And October the 5th, 1967, you'll be able to find out about this all over the web if you just Google Snippy the Horse. But that is the first in modern times. And you'll see that particularly the editors on the Wikipedia page are quite sceptical about it. But Linda included it in her film. And it is a very strange case. those early reports, which predate Snippy, they sort of talk about animals that were mysteriously drained of blood and had patches of skin and organs removed. But the modern accounts have several sort of additional details that distinguish them, and they sort of make them a little bit more harder to explain through scavenger activity.
So in the olden times, you said this goes way back.
Yeah.
Obviously there was, I guess nobody made a UFO connection there. Was this kind of, I guess, did it fall into the realm of werewolves, vampires, entities, fairies, stuff like
yeah,
that?
Was that
the lore, basically?
It didn't really have an explanation. It was, you know, the devil's work, a witch's work, all of that sort of thing. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So this Substack references a book which I flicked through, and we'll come back to it because it's fascinating. Stalking the Herd, Christopher O'Brien, 2014. It's kind of like an update on really the work that Linda did. And he identifies some key things about the animals that were, you could say, a part of this phenomena. Complete blood loss, that is a thing. No sign of blood on the wounds, ground, anywhere else. It's just completely gone from the animal.
Yeah.
Hide, flesh, organs taken away. Remarkable surgical decision. Precision. Often in circular or square cuts.
Right.
They also quite often take an eye, an ear, a lip, a tongue, something like that. And with cattle, the udder is often gone. Parts like the rectum are cored out, so it's quite gross. It's almost like an ice cream scoop have gone in and taken part of the animal.
That was an image I didn't want in my head.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
And the blood draining thing, you may get onto this.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends how long the body of the animal has been there, but are there any other kind of natural biological explanations for that, or is that what makes it so weird?
That's what makes it so weird, because normally a dead animal, the blood would coagulate at the bottom of the carcass.
Right.
That's not there at all. And you say about how long it's been there. Some of these cases, the farmer has been, you know, they saw the animal, then 30 minutes later, the animal is like this.
Right.
There's even an account from one of Linda's accounts where there is a farmer who's in the same field as the cattle. He's just working on a fence, and it happens while he's got his back turned.
Wow. Okay.
The other thing that quite often you see is the bone is scorched, like it's been subject to the sun for days.
Right.
Cuts are cauterized. There's quite a long list here, but the ones that I really want to pull out, because it will come back to this, is pure dried hemoglobin has been found in some of the carcasses. This is really, really crucial, because you can't get hemoglobin out of blood just by draining the blood. You have to spin it, as you can imagine, to separate the different parts, the plasma, etc.
So all this phenomena, let's call it that, or whatever's happening, does sound very surgical, very planned, very medical, doesn't it?
Yes.
Rather than, it's not like a frenzied attack on something. It's almost scientific.
Correct. And then there are strange details that sort of make it less likely to have been done in a frenzy, like tail hair is sometimes removed and artfully arranged.
Oh, well, really?
It's
almost like presenting it.
Yeah, plaited sometimes.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that odd?
That is really odd. Because, again, that doesn't fit in with the more, you know, medical procedure type stuff. That's almost a display, isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
It is.
Okay.
And sometimes you get this, it looks like the animal has been dropped from the air. It's like it's been crushed. Sometimes they're even found in trees.
Just to get the aliens go, so you didn't clamp it properly again.
I know. Or they don't care and they just let it go.
Right, okay.
It's sort of been immortalised in South Park, amongst other things. UAPs are often seen around it. I'm going to call them UFOs. I hate UAPs. Including black helicopters. You've probably come across the black helicopters and cattle mutilations. They do seem to go together. When the phenomena peaked in 1975, this was the same time when the cattle population peaked in the US. That is a peculiar but weird fact.
Right.
And it has continued since. And another peculiar weird fact is that the cattle mutilations themselves are confined, as far as this author can tell, to Christian countries. That is where most of the cattle are. But it's not confined, the phenomena isn't confined to Christian countries, with dogs, coyotes, reindeer, elk, all of these other animals also being recorded.
It's funny, that just sparked something in my mind of, are there any examples of this in countries where the cow is sacred?
Well, that's a very good point. I don't know the answer to that.
Because you would think if something like that happened, like in India, if that happened, it would be a major story, wouldn't it? Because it's also kind of sacrilegious as well as, you know, bizarre.
Correct. Yes, that's right.
Because I was going to say maybe it wasn't reported in those countries, but you've got to think in countries where the cow is sacred, it definitely would be reported. Could there be outrage?
Yes, absolutely. And there are, we're not going to cover it here, but there are cases of human mutilations as well.
Yeah.
Which are kind of terrifying. But there's another weird angle to this, which is the fact that sometimes, rarely, there are substances found within the body, such as nicotine, bullet wounds are found, objects left near the scene, scalpels, gloves, cigarette butts, all of these suggest that there could be a human intervention here.
Yeah.
But the cuts on those animals are made, you can tell they're made with sharp objects. They're sloppy in comparison.
Well, I guess if you were a conspiracy theorist, you would say those things are left as, and maybe even the kind of artistic displays of stuff are left to kind of keep you off the trail, to make it feel, what's the word I'm looking for, to kind of cover up what's really been happened and make it look like it is a human thing. I'm not saying that's right, but I'm sure sceptics might say that.
Well, we're going down this direction, okay. Absolutely, because it makes it look as if there are maybe some copycat attacks.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's another option, isn't it?
So this first Cassiopeian transcript is from January 1995. And the questioner, so remember they're questioning to, they hesitate to say a spirit, they're questioning an entity.
Right.
And they say, they reference the 1970s, and they talk about the cattle mutilations, and they say to the entity, what I would like to know is, who was doing the cattle mutilations? And the answer is many. So they say, okay, so who was doing most of the cattle mutilations? Not applicable. Okay, were some of the cattle mutilations done by the US government or entities within the government? Was, it questions. In other words, is it still going on? Yes. Right. So was or is some of this activity being conducted by alien individuals? Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the association between aliens and cattle mutilation has been there since 1967.
But just so I'm clear, this is them asking a spirit whether...
An entity.
Whether an entity, the US government or aliens have done it. I'm not, you know...
It's basically saying it's both.
Okay, all right. The entity's saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only is it because of the high precision of the cuts, but the sense of mystery surrounding the phenomena, the sightings, the UFOlogists who keep getting reports of lights... separate to the farmers who are making the reports.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just tied around the witnesses themselves. Even J. Allen Hynek himself talked about the cattle mutilations, but he was one of the people to blame it on Satanists. He is one of the first in modern times to say it was Satanists. Now, J. Allen Hynek has been known to not want to talk about the true nature of UFOs.
Did he... The Satanist stuff, was that... Was that included in Project Blue Book, or it was this post he talked
about? No, this was in a paper that he wrote.
Right.
But other people have spoken about more clearly the alien hypothesis, including Moulton Howe herself. She has spoken about a case where an elk was lifted by UFO in the Cascade Mountains in 1999.
Not an elk.
I know. So there are other people who, in her book, describe other beings, you know, animals, being lifted via a beam of light and then mutilated and dissected on board because the witnesses were also on board the UFO. Those are more tenuous, I suppose, because we have to sort of... They are memories recovered via regression and things like that.
So these are our abductees who said they've witnessed animals, this being done to animals on board.
On board, yeah. But... you know, you have to account for how reliable those witnesses are. I'm not saying they're not. But then quite recently, Philip J. Corso claimed that there was an accepted link in military circles between UFOs, aliens and cattle mutilations.
Right.
If we go back to the transcript, the same transcript, the questioner, were they acting for the same reasons? No. Why did the government do cattle mutilations? A copy to throw off investigations. So here we have a phenomena that's genuine, but at the same time, we're finding that these occasional cases, it's pretty obvious that someone is using sedatives, hypodermic needles, and is using medical equipment to drain the animals, take parts of their bodies. And so these questioners, the Cassiopeian group, postulated that there were two things going on simultaneously. You've got a genuine phenomena, and you've got this medical surveillance project, which is being carried out under the cover of the alien hypothesis, knowing that most vets won't touch the mutilated animal because they don't want to get involved in the idea that aliens are dissecting them, and that fact that you could be called a nutter and lose your job, right?
Right.
So the two things that were going through my mind, the government, let's say there's the real alien mutilations and there's the government activity.
Yes. They call it bidirectional mimicry.
Is that misdirection from the alien stuff, or is there some other project that they're getting out of it by doing this stuff on animals?
Well, this is going to be something they ask.
Right.
So you've got this small program hiding behind a phenomena, and then sometimes the phenomena mimics what is the government activity. So it's got a feedback loop. It's very peculiar. The next question. So they copied this activity to throw off investigations. Did they do this as an act to protect the aliens who were doing animal mutilations for their own purposes? No.
Right.
Were they doing it to protect themselves from the public, knowing that they were engaged in alien interactions? The answer, they do it to protect the public from knowing that which would explode a society if discovered.
Right.
What is this item which we're protecting society from? What activity is it? Humans eat cattle, aliens eat you, is the answer that comes back.
I.e. humans?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we're now getting to the
point...
All
right, whoa, rewind that.
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask.
I don't know what I'm going to ask. I can't get my head around that. So, okay, no, go.
It doesn't make sense at the moment because...
Okay, but it will. Okay.
It will, because what you're saying, what I've just said is, well, the Cassiopeian entity says they eat people.
Yeah.
So why are they taking cattle?
Right.
That's what we're going to find out next.
Okay.
But just interrupting that flow, they point out that, you know, the journalist Ross Coulthard, the Australian guy who's been doing a lot of whistleblowing recently.
Yeah.
He hangs out with Jeremy Corbell quite a lot.
Yeah.
He said in 2023, I'm sorry to upset anybody out there, but actually, no, I'm not. He said, I remember in my conversation with David Grush and other people, I'm not talking here about malevolence. I'm talking here about deliberately targeted attacks by alleged non-human intelligences that weren't accidental. They were deliberate acts of murder, killing and mutilation. So this is something that is being spoken about in the wider frame of the UAP information release.
Right.
And they just pick it. So I had missed that this had come out of those conversations. Coulthard is a great reporter. I mean, he's a conventional television reporter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is citing the conversations he's been having. So this fits in somewhat with what this entity is saying.
It's interesting that, isn't it? We're also focused and keen on the actual UFO, the craft, and the aliens that, you know, maybe this bit of it doesn't get as much attention as
well,
it should. That seems the implication, doesn't it?
It does. And I'd miss this from the Joe Rogan podcast in 23. George Knapp, who's another UFO journalist, he said, what's so terrible that they can't tell us about it? Let's say these aliens, wherever they're from, they made us. We're a genetic experiment. They created our religions, our religious figures. We're an agricultural product that somehow they harvest us. And there's a lot of quotes from a lot of people pointing this out here. This is David Grush, 2023. We have biologics, meaning bodies, whose characteristics Grush isn't free to specify, though he hints that they come in different shapes and sizes. He said that he learnt that these beings may not be friendly, indifferent to us at the least, he says. He also suggests they belong to groups or species who may, in some cases, dislike each other. Right. So he's hinting at this idea that there's quite a complex set of activities going on around the human eating.
So there could be a few alien species in battle over this resource, I guess, is the implication. It's also making me think of, I think there's something similar with that concept in Jupiter Rising, I think, about, you know, the Earth being some kind of farm. And
yeah.
And it's also making me think, it's a bit Matrix-like as well, isn't it?
It is. Although in this reality, we're at base level reality, is the suggestion. In the Matrix, of course, the farming does happen at the base level, but with the humans exist in a non-base level reality.
Yeah.
That was a really clumsy way of saying there's a gap of realities in the Matrix.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to get my head around that. We could go off down a really big rabbit hole, couldn't we?
They sound delicious right now. This is where we're going to get into the question. So we eat second level. So what they're saying is we eat the cattle.
Yeah.
They eat third level. Did aliens do some of the cattle mutilations? Yes, says the entity. What do aliens do to the cattle? They want the blood. They take the blood out of them. Yes. What, they drink it? What do they use the blood for? Nourishment. Okay, but you just said that aliens eat humans and humans eat cattle. Why were the aliens being nourished by cattle? If it's not that their, you know, normal bill of fare, a cow's blood is a lot like human blood, but it's not human blood. And the answer is, do you not ever consume facsimile? So what they mean is, like,
right.
Do you not ever have a hamburger when you want a steak? That's what they're saying.
It's like drinking almond milk.
In other words, they say, were they eating cattle just to keep having to eat so many humans? Yes, says the entity.
That again, that also feels like a vampire script, isn't it? You know, the vampire who's trying not to kill humans, so survives off animals. It's not what he wants, but, you know, it's that.
And Count Duckula, who did carrot juice instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to forget the Duckula theory.
Now, this entity who's telling us all this, where does he or she or it fit into all this? Is this entity part of the alien?
We don't know.
Culture, we don't know.
No. This entity...
Is it a nosy spirit who's just sticking his nose into alien stuff?
We'd have to go more into it, but he doesn't claim to be a spirit. Okay. It's claimed to owe more to remote viewing than it is to Ouija boards, although there is a Ouija board-like device used there. The way... Because I read quite a lot about it on their pages, and... The way I would characterize it is that they're getting to a truth which is existing, but isn't tied to a particular consciousness. So,
right.
You know how when you do remote viewing, the consciousness, it's not an object being transferred via another consciousness. The truth is the shape of the object.
Right,
so and that's what we're sort of saying here.
So in some ways, it's like tapping into some kind of cosmic energy,
yes.
Let's say, or, you know, everything in the universe being connected. It's that kind of almost, you know, grandiose theory.
Absolutely. But they make this big point that...
It's not a ghost called George.
No. And also they are well aware of, like we've spoken about before, hungry ghosts, lying entities, tricksters.
Yeah.
And that's why they back up everything that the entity says with research and facts. That's how come they've got all this information.
Yeah.
Because they want to test it and see what other people are saying. They don't just take it as a fact. They look to see if there's any evidence from other researchers to back up what it's saying, just like you would with the remote viewing.
Okay, can I just do a little summary, just so I've so I'm clear? So aliens, maybe one, maybe multiple species eat humans, right? But
yes,
in order to limit the amount of humans they're eating, maybe for moral reasons, whatever, who knows, sometimes they go for cows for the blood. Is that where we're at?
That is where we're at.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when you talk about, you liken it there to vampires, I think that's really interesting, because when we talk about Men in Black, they're very similar to the Middle Eastern idea of a black garbed mystery man,
yeah,
who is coming to suck your blood. The idea, their idea of that culture's idea of a vampire.
Yeah.
The Men in Black have some things associated with vampire lore, like, for example, the paralysis that some people say they feel when they get confronted by a Men in Black.
Yeah.
There is another very interesting part of it, which is kind of, it's a bit anecdotal, but the idea that you have to invite Men in Black into your house.
Like,
yes, isn't that strange?
So we are, again, back to the entity, or the energy, let's call it, the entity energy.
Yes.
By implication, these aliens are vampires, aren't they? Because they're eating the cattle blood in order to avoid eating humans, which,
yeah,
kind of implies they eat human blood.
They definitely
that's
do.
Their favourite.
Yes, their favourite is human
that's
blood.
That's their fillet steak rather than burger.
In fact, later on, we are described as filet mignon. Ooh. Compared to the beef.
Yeah, cool.
Which is kind of ironic.
Well, because we we co-host this podcast, we'd have to be Chateaubriand, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh God, I don't want to be sliced up. Oh. Mind you do get two portions of fries usually.
I bet we taste good with a bit of B&A sauce, though.
I reckon, I think I'd crisp up nicely.
Sorry, I'm taking us on a really weird tangent.
God, I was just thinking about the cow that wants to be eaten at the restaurant at the end of the universe in Hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking about how great we taste. I don't think that's what we want to be.
No, we don't want to be advertising, do we?
But basically what we're saying is the Earth is a farm, we're the crop, aliens, yeah, and UFOs raid us to satisfy their thirst for blood. That is the disgusting thing that is coming out of this conversation.
I can probably answer this, but my slight problem with that, it implies that the Earth is almost like some kind of McDonald's drive-through that aliens are coming to. But if you had that advanced technology, wouldn't you have your farms off Earth, and wouldn't we hear more about disappearances of humans rather than cattle mutilation?
We do hear a lot about the disappearance of humans, though, don't we?
Yeah. But why would they treat, not in the same way that we get the cattle mutilations, why would that be different? Why would they do it in a different way? And if you're going to have a farm, surely you would set one up nearer to where you lived.
Maybe we are just next door.
Yeah, that is true. Okay.
We don't know where they live.
If it's interdimensional. Okay, all right, I'll go.
I can't particularly answer.
You haven't got the statistical information to back that up. Yeah.
But there might be a good reason why they don't want to have too many of us to eat.
Right.
Maybe we aren't that good for them. I don't know.
Or maybe they can't afford us. If you go with it, it's like beluga caviar, or, you know, are we that high up the menu that we're a rarity, you know, rather than a chicken?
Possibly.
We're caviar, not chicken.
Or possibly that there's another alien race which doesn't like us being eaten because they want us for something else.
All right, I'm going to go really out there.
Okay.
This is where maybe the two species comes in. So I've always had this thought of a kind of, for a script of some sort, I'm sure it's been done, that there could be one set of aliens that is trying to prevent this stuff happening. But, you know, they're the other species who likes eating us takes the risk every now and again. And maybe the punishment for a cow is less than for a human. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
if you look at it in that context, it's that could be an interesting way of looking at it.
It could. I mean, neither is particularly pleasant.
No, neither's pleasant. We are stretching a little bit there.
Well, look, the next logical question to the entity, Since they're eating cattle instead of humans, does that mean they'll stop eating humans? The answer, some of their human food is merely emotions. Think of flesh as the equivalent of filet mignon. That's what I was just, right. That was where that quote came from.
Yeah.
So the questioners say, okay, so we're talking about these aliens. Are we talking about the greys? No. Are we talking about the lizards? Yes. Okay, so what do the greys feed on? Plasma. Okay, so the greys feed on plasma, blood plasmas of some kind. Is that what you're saying? Yes. And as I said before, pure hemoglobin residues have been found on some of the mutilated cattle. An analysis of the hemoglobin by a chemist, I've got his name, he's P.A. Budinger.
Yeah.
It's not too difficult to pronounce, thank goodness.
That's probably the easiest name we've ever had on the podcast.
Yeah, well, there's also W.C. Levengood. I wouldn't call myself W.C. though, would you?
No.
Anyway, I'm being childish. He said in an interview with Linda Howe, in his professional estimation, the presence of hemoglobin on the cattle suggests a processing of the whole blood has occurred at the excision site.
Right.
So to get the blood plasma and the hemoglobin separate, as I said before, you have to spin it. That's how you have to separate it out.
Right.
So that's quite a big industrial process.
If we go with it, I guess they're not doing that on the ground. Take it up to the ship, give it a spin, take the blood, dump it out again, because, you know, they don't care. And they don't care who knows. And then they're off. It does also imply, I know we are having one source for this, which is this entity, but it does also imply that greys are the ones who are doing the cattle stuff and the lizards are doing more the human activity. Maybe there's a different MO, modus operandi, between the two, which is why we've got this disconnect.
I'm about to clear that up for you.
Oh, brilliant.
So, do the greys feed on emotions? No, says the entity. They send them to the lizards. What? So the greys send emotions to the lizards. They're transmitters. They transfer energy through technology. Right, so are the cattle giving off enough emotion for the greys to feed this to the lizards also? No.
Are we talking literally emotions, or is emotions a kind
of
metaphor?
Yeah, no, literally emotions.
Okay.
And as we heard before, they like the plasma, the greys. But the entity says, no, that is physical only, you see. Lizards and greys only need physical nourishment while visiting, not when in natural realm. And the natural realm, they call, is the fourth density. There they feed on emotions only. Mm. Right, so greys are not strictly third density because they've been created by the lizards. Yes, correct. They too are fourth level. So this is getting really complicated. So basically, we're now talking interdimensional beings.
Right.
And so the suggestion here, the translation that, because I've missed out some bits here for you as listeners, because this would have taken ages. Basically, the lizards came here for us and may or may not have made us. In their natural realm, they just want to feed off emotions.
Yeah.
When they come to our plane of existence, they have to eat proper food. When the greys come here, they have to eat proper food, but they can transmit emotions back to the lizards in their home dimension. Are you following me?
Yeah, kind of. I'm going to do my summary in a minute.
But they can drink plasma to keep themselves going.
Okay, so, all right, let me see if I got this. So on your levels, it's almost like a hierarchy, right? There's almost like a caste system or something, right?
Yeah, or the greys are working on the behest of the lizards.
But if we go with the order, you've got lizards are at the top of the pile.
Yes.
Then you get the greys.
Correct.
Then you get us.
Yes.
And then you get the cows in terms of priority.
Yes, although they see us as similar to the cows.
Okay, so maybe we're almost like a work organisation chart at that point, cow, human, coming off as a separate prong, if you excuse the pun.
We're probably a different item on a menu, but yes.
I like the concept that, I think what you were getting at there is these beings are coming from another dimension, but they live off this emotions, or energy from the emotions, but when they're in our realm on Earth, they need actual sustenance, and that's where the cows and us come in a different way, because obviously they're harvesting the emotions. The other thing that was going through my mind was the emotions part of it. I wonder if that's like a drug.
Possibly.
Do you know what I mean?
Because, yes.
Again, it would kind of explain that it's... You could put a narrative together that that's why they're illicitly coming and don't want to make fuss, because the other aliens I mentioned are trying to police this drugs trade in emotions, but they come here... It's worth the effort because it's such a high for them, I was thinking.
Yes.
I'm not throwing mud into the water. It's just a thought.
No. But that would also make sense for why they abduct people and, again, stick an anal probe into them. It's just to scare them to get the emotion.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? What emotion tastes better or gives you a better high?
Presumably something...
Fear. Fear's by the sounds of it.
Yeah, anal probe-induced fear.
Yeah, why can't happiness be the best one for them?
Maybe that's what Sam the Sandown Clown was experimenting with.
Yeah.
Maybe if I make you sing karaoke, we'll try that as an emotion.
Yeah, well, I've got a story for us next week, which will make that a really bad idea.
So here's another question that answers something. What technology do they use to surgically excise the cattle's anatomy? Is it done by laser? Laser-like, it says. And according to Iona Happiner, who analysed the mutilation in 1980, they did careful microscopic exams on the tissue cut from the belly, and it was cut, not with a laser burn, and no cell was destroyed. It basically separated the cells, cell by cell. No cell itself was disrupted in the mutilator's cut.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird, yeah. And again, I'm assuming there's nothing we can reproduce that would do that.
Not that we know of, no.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing that is outside of a black technology.
Well, that's quite good evidence, if it's credible evidence.
So another question to the entity. What about the association with black unmarked helicopters? What are these black helicopters? And the answer is they're variable. Okay.
Thanks for clearing that up.
So are some of these helicopters disguised alien craft? Are some of the helicopters the property of the US government? Yes to both.
Right. Kind of, I thought that would be the case.
Yes. Nick Redfern, as they point out in Top Secret Alien Abduction Files 2018, he says in some cases, the witnesses described the black helicopters flying in complete silence.
Right.
Others swore that the helicopters vanished in a flash of light.
Right.
And so that lends sort of credence to this idea of UFOs hiding behind a mask of... you know, of a helicopter, basically. They're making you see what you want to see.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the questioner says, are some of these helicopters private enterprise? And the answer says, yeah, they are. They are all connected. In other words, this is more bi-directional mimicry.
Right. My question to that, though, if we go with this, right, why would they care to... disguise what they're doing? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to think of an analogy of farming here. Well, you know what? That's really interesting. I was going to say it doesn't make any sense, but there was a story this week that in Russia, did you see this? With cows with VR?
No.
That in Russia, on the farms, they're putting VR headsets on cows during the winter and playing them scenes of like green fields and pastures and sunny skies in the kind of winter, when they're actually in the winter snow in a shed, but they're playing them this lovely summer feeling. And apparently it increases the yield of milk by something like 20%. So there are sheds in Russia, apparently, that cows are wearing VR headsets to convince them it's a lovely summer's day so they produce more milk.
That would make sense. That would make sense because... if there was a way, if we found out what they were doing, A, society would collapse and their food might...
and we might not taste better, whether we're the emotion drug thing or the food itself.
or we might find a way to stop them.
Yeah.
If we knew what we were up against, maybe their greatest sort of advantage is the deception.
Yeah.
The hiding in not exactly plain sight, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it blows your mind, this, doesn't it?
It does, it does. The next question, they say, look, so what about the different parts of the body that are taken?
Right.
And the entity says the rumen, that's a part of the cattle. The rumen is a large fermentation chamber within the stomach. And it's where a lot of mutilation reports say it's missing. So you heard of ruminate. That's what, you know, yeah. when cows chew the cud. Yeah, it's that.
Right, okay.
So they take that, and the question is,
they've
like,
got multiple stomachs, right, cows?
Yeah. And so the question is a little bit confused. He says, so why do they take an eyeball? Why only one eyeball? And this is where you're going to have to, like, take a bit of a leap of faith, because it says to study the soul...
Sorry, this bit is the bit.
This is the bit.
Right.
To study the soul pattern. Wait, you could study a soul pattern through an eyeball. Yes, it's like a tape recorder. Why do they take a part of the lip? DNA library. Well, how many eyes and DNA libraries do they need?
That's a good point.
Some is copycat by secret government, says the answer.
Right.
So this questioner goes into a place where I would have gone. I heard a recent rumour that chupacabras make 3 puncture marks. Is that true? No. Okay. Are the stories that we're hearing from the southwestern Mexico and parts of Florida, are they all chupacabras? Some of them. So this goes into the chupacabra theory as well, and seems to confirm that chupacabras are indeed a thing.
Alien thing, are we saying?
Well, it doesn't say. There's another section on chupacabras, which we will go into. But I think the most, sort of the way that they sort of finished it, which was, so we started in 1995. This is a transcript from 2020. There had just been some horse mutilations in France. Do you remember this? There were lots of horses. So it was during the lockdown.
Oh,
they were finding horses with horrible injuries. And so the questioner says, it says to the entity, you know, we've been finding them, and the latest one, they reference the latest one, and the horse's right ear was cut out. I won't go into all the details, but they say it's hugely barbaric. And this isn't the only horse. And it says to the entity, the human says to the entity, what's going on there? And the NTC says, Satanists are widely active in these times. Wait, so you're saying that all of this is the work of a satanic cult? Yes. So it's not cattle mutilations done by aliens? No.
Oh, he's just pulled the rug out, hasn't he?
Well, so these ones that were happening in France, they are different to the other cattle mutilations, but they certainly were mutilations.
Yeah.
And in not all of them did the horse die.
But he's saying the horse ones are different, not all of it.
No, he's saying those reports in France, that was Satanists. As the police said, the police blamed it on Satanists.
So we're still...
And the entity says, yes, it was Satanists.
Okay, so we're still going with the alien thing. He's not...
Yes.
It's not like some big kind of reveal at the end of the episode where, it was Satanists. This all along, it's just that section.
No, okay. It is just that. Ooh. No. So the reason I wanted to bring that up is that, so it's not, so what this entity is saying is that some is human, some is alien, some is Satanist, some is government.
Yeah.
Some of it is done as a copycat mimic to cover up an alien that is doing it. For some reason, the government wants you to think that it's the government, not aliens.
Yeah.
And some of it is the aliens pretending to be the government just to piss around with people. Yeah. It's incredibly complicated.
It is.
And you can't really, unless you just take it on face value, that they're just here to make dinner, then it becomes incredibly confusing. But, you know, they put this out there. They said, you know, this is what we've discovered. This is what the entity says. This is what's happening around it. You know, believe what you want to believe. They're not trying to push this as an absolute. It's just what they've managed to glean from their process.
And the process with this kind of entity, cosmic energy, whatever we want to call it, do we know, you know, you talked about it in terms of akin to remote viewing. This interview, let's call it that, if we want to call it an interview with this entity. How long did that go on for? Is this one session? Has this been going on for weeks, years? Do we know?
So that last one, so that the sessions about cattle mutilations, that time span is 25 years, those conversations.
Right.
And it is still going on.
Okay.
They've got 1.2 million words of transcription. The key thing to note is that this isn't someone under hypnosis either. They do it all whilst they're awake, and they do it in groups.
Right.
So it isn't just one questioner. There are teams of people that come together to be the questioners. But exactly how they do it, they only describe roughly how they do it. They say it looks a bit like a Ouija board. It has its roots in something akin to remote viewing.
Yeah.
Everyone is awake. We think that is better because you can challenge things and you can know what you're doing. Is it 100% accurate? We don't know.
I mean, I think, again, putting a sceptical head on, we've seen during our discussion today about it how you can plough into the narrative and create your own little subset of it. You know, like we were saying, are the emotions a drug? Is that why it's all illicit and why they're not telling us? And, oh, there's this second alien race that are trying to stop them and... You know, this is like doing an illicit drug deal coming down to Earth. It shows how if you get a group of people together, that this process could easily be perverted, couldn't it?
Oh, yes, it could. Yeah. It could. But the fact that they put it out there for general consumption.
Yeah.
Do they use different groups? Because obviously it's been going on for 25 years. There must be... It's not always the same people, is it?
There's different members. There's different members, yeah. But they all come together in the same place by the looks of it.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
What an incredible story. I mean, whether it is some almost group mass hysteria narrative that they're just creating and there's absolutely nothing to it at all, even if that's the case, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it?
It is. And I'm going to be covering more of it in the future. We'll look into some of the other things that they've looked into.
Okay.
Because it does provide some answers, at least, for some of the most curious things, like chupacabras, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So I don't know if you're feeling particularly tasty.
Well, I'm a bit worried now. The thing that's thrown in my mind is, it was interesting what you said, if we knew what was going on, maybe... we could fight back. Maybe that's as simple as not making us taste good. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the vampire thing of, oh, you know, garlic, that keeps them off. If we ate lots of garlic.
Or maybe they did do that deal with the US government where they could take 100,000 a year and no more.
Yeah, wow.
Which, you know, is rumoured.
Wow. Interesting, really fascinating.
It is interesting, and it sort of goes alongside... You remember that really terrifying one from Wales with a woman who... Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What if what she saw was designed to scare her? It wasn't what she thought it was, but it gave them great emotions.
It was like the other one that I did where the woman who had been abducted even from, you know, the one who was doing the puzzles and all that type of stuff with them.
Yeah.
And she had, I mean, I know they were her dreams, but she had ones with animals in cages. That's a theme that comes along, and it does tie into almost that farming narrative in a way.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, we keep talking about aliens owning us either to hybridize us, because they want to take over the planet, or to eat us. There isn't one where they... I mean, there are some encounters where they say they just want to be our friends. I'm not believing it anymore.
It's that song from Porno for Pyro's Pets. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, that's the line about kind of... I think it's another race rather than... But I guess that could be alien that come along and take over for us. And then the chorus is just... We'll make great pets.
Would we, though? I think we'd be very difficult to house train.
Yeah, yeah, we'd be the cats of the pet world, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah, or the ferret.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a ferret.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be an alien's ferret.
Well, that's blown my mind, Ben. I love that. I like we've not done one of that for a while where we can just go a bit wild with the ideas and the thoughts of it. I think you explained it really well because it is quite complicated. So well done for the
all
research.
All that third and level that. And fourth level stuff.
Yeah, no, but I think I got my head round it. And it's one of those, we sometimes do the odd episode like that. I'm going to be thinking about that for the next couple of days, you know what I mean? And I then wake up in the middle of the night and go, why didn't I ask Ben that?
Well, we can always do a, I mean, maybe at some point we should do like a Q&A on some of this stuff afterwards, because I have got 34 pages of notes and I've only used like half of it, because otherwise you're just saying the same thing and it gets a bit repetitive. But
be a good live thing, or maybe something we could do on Patreon, maybe do a Zoom thing on Patreon. So, sorry, we're just making up strategy on the hoof live. But yeah, maybe
if you like the sound of that, let us know.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Patreon.com/TQMPod. I nearly forgot the address then. Yeah. Join us and become a Patreon and help us make all of our dreams come true before we get eaten.
Yes. Make us before we become a tasty meal. Great. Well, look, next week, I think we're going to record a little bit earlier next week because we've got the bank holiday coming up. So again, probably a good time to become a Patreon at the moment, because you'll get a couple of episodes quite quickly, because as soon as we've recorded and edited it, we put it there on Patreon first, ad-free. So I'm going to be doing something about songs that are not haunting, but are haunted.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
The one that always strikes me, if I'm walking along late at night, I don't know why, I always think, because I take my dog around the churchyard, because it's a nice place to go and it's quite quiet away from the road and stuff.
Yeah.
And I always think the worst thing I could hear would be somebody whistling Waltzing Matilda. I don't know why.
Ooh,
it's just the freakiest song I could think of. If you're in America, you may not have come across it. We had to do it at primary school, sing it all the time.
Yeah.
But it's got a really... Oh, it's got a
is it a haunting? Haunting is the word.
It's got a haunting lilt to it, yes.
Yeah. I agree with you. And Tom Waits uses it in a song that he did. I can't remember which song it is. But, yeah, it's when he sings it as well, it's even weirder. With his gravelly voice. I always think there's a couple of songs. There's a Joni Mitchell song called River, and there's a Nina Simone song as well, that both of them are quite sad, and we'll talk about sad songs next week, but they both use jingle bells, but kind of played in a kind of really melancholy Ooh. Way on the piano, and that's really something about Christmas songs played in that way that are incorporated into a sad song, which really, I don't know, it's something about that really strikes at your emotions.
Yeah, that subversion of happy songs
is
the sort of thing you find in a horror movie, for good reason,
Yeah, like the nursery rhyme type songs.
Yeah. Oh, the nursery rhyme. A lot of ghost hunters have those motion detectors that play really? A chimed nursery rhyme.
No.
And I don't know why you would do that to yourself.
No.
Every time I've gone ghost hunting, I've been on the edge of my seat and I don't want anything to push me over. Like, as I've always said, and I've been honest, any time I've ever seen anything, I've related it to you, the audience, I've never seen an apparition, I've never seen anything that's provable. I really wish I would. But if I do... I will lose my mind temporarily
and hum jingle bells. All right, well, look, more on that next week when we look at haunted songs. And have a good week, and
have a good week. Don't forget to buy your Easter eggs,
yes,
because
definitely.
The aliens won't like it if you're not, you know,
yeah,
chunked up enough.
That was, sorry, before we go, that's the other story I like this week. Did you hear the one? I don't know where it is. That's small Scottish island with the guy who runs the local shop.
Oh, yes, he ordered a load of Easter
80
eggs,
pallets rather than 80 eggs. So he's doing all kinds of charity stuff to get rid of them. And everybody on that island is just consuming eggs like crazy, which is a great story.
I reckon he's doing what I normally do. If I go to McDonald's or something and my girlfriend says, I don't want chips, I always buy chips. Then I'll probably even buy a third chip because I want a lot of chips. I reckon he was like, I really want Easter eggs.
I want Easter eggs, fair enough.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you the quantum mechanics?